The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to the DC Outsiders podcast. I'm Mino.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we have another brain dump for you. You can expect one on the last week of every month without fail. And this week we have March's brain dump for you.
As always, the tangents are unexpected, and this time it ranges from Mino's birthday to the human nature of fixating on romantic relationships.
I know, that sounds really strange, but you should stay tuned till the end for a lesson on psychology, and I'm pretty sure all of you will put on your thinking caps. So without further ado, let's jump right into the show.
So let's address the elephant in the room. How was your happy birthday?
My happy birthday was amazing, Ankita. But you know, this year was slightly different because most years I don't usually make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
I just think, oh, it's another day. But this year, I just for the sake of it, I wanted to be a bitch about it.
I bullied you into doing it. You know how birthdays are a huge deal to me? Because I make a huge deal out of my birthdays, especially my birthdays. I'm so mm-hmm. important to me.
You mean your happy birthday?
My happy birthday is so important to me. But I just find it so fascinating that a year has gone by and, you know, you're older and you probably have, not probably, you definitely have lesser time left to stay alive. And that's when
that's such a weird way of looking.
It's so macabre. It's so weird. But I just get this realization that, oh my God, a year has gone by and have I even learned anything? Am I less dumb?
But Ankita, I think that is something that we should be doing every day. Just reflect. Oh, if you reflected on your life every day, then it would be quite taxing mentally.
Yeah, how many people do that? I just find it unfortunate that a lot of people don't even do that on their birthdays. You know, it's a milestone. You're 35 or you're 36. What have you accomplished in so many years of your life? And what do you look forward to in the remaining, you know, you never know, 25 years?
Well, in my case, remaining like 80 years because I'm living till I'm 100. So
Okay, in your case, 80 years. But in my case, I don't know, with all the bacon that I'm eating.
But Ankita, I think that this year was slightly different because when I woke up on Saturday morning, I knew like you'd get the messages and everything and happy birthday, whatever, which is all great. Yeah. But I tried to just take a step back from all of that. Mm. So I got a lot of messages. I didn't reply to them immediately. Mm. I just took a step back and I just did my thing. I went to the gym.
Of course.
Had a workout.
That was like your birthday gift to yourself, going to the gym.
I was like, happy birthday, Mino. Let's go to the gym. But I was walking to the gym and I was happy and I was really jolly and perky, and maybe because it was my birthday, but I just think that we should be celebrating our lives every day.
Yeah, and but I think in theory that's amazing, but I don't think we do that. I don't think because even people who make the conscious choice to do it that much. I don't know.
But I think it's also the same with Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, that it shouldn't be a special day. Of course, the day that you came onto this earth is a very important and special day, but I think that I really do want to make a conscious effort now. Okay, I won't celebrate myself every day. That's really cynical. But
but at least once a week. Oh, I just remember that you were sending your mom messages in the week leading up to your birthday saying congrats. Like 24 years ago, you gave birth to an amazing human being. Congrats. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
No. So as a... Nobody is allowed to steal this from me, okay? This is copyrighted. This is all me. By the way, guys, Ankita has a big problem where she just steals my jokes. And just the other day... Just the other day, someone posted on her Facebook and I saw that they were referring to a joke that supposedly Ankita had made.
No.
And I was like, wait a second, I made that joke.
I totally gave you credit. I totally gave you credit everywhere. Like, while I was telling them, I was like, this is a thing that Meenal and I do. I think people are just getting tired of how much I talk about you. Like, this is... And then I'd be, you know, making the joke and I'd still laugh, but I'd be like, it's not the same without Barb.
Yeah. So the week leading up to my birthday, I sent my mom a message saying, congratulations, you gave birth to an amazing human being 24 years ago.
Yeah. I kind of want to steal that, but my mom is listening to us right now, so it won't be very new.
Authentic.
Or it won't be very novel when I do it, so... Yeah.
Well, this is another brain dump, and I love brain dumps because I always speak to Ankita about so many things every day.
Yeah.
And Ankita knows that there are times where I say, man, I wish I could say this on the podcast.
Mm.
So now I'm just going to puke everything out to
you. Another thing is that I just want our listeners to encourage Meenal a little more, or push her rather on this, because I was telling her that she should start a blog of her own and write the way I write on an almost daily basis. Just share what's happening in your life, because it's going to be a completely different blog. It'll not be like my blog, because your insights are very different. The way you comprehend things, the way you process things in your head, I find it so interesting that I'm sure there will be people out there who'd be interested in reading that blog.
If Ankita, if I started a blog, what would I call it?
You can call it like something Prague Street or something.
Wow, Ankita, you're so bad at coming up with names.
Okay.
If there are any listeners and you think that there's a good blog name, mm-hmm. I would, if I get a really good name, Ankita, I'll start one
really?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so listeners, send in an amazing name for Meenal's blog. If she gets one, she's going to start one. I'm going to personally make sure she does, because I really want that blog to be out there.
If my blog becomes more famous than yours, will we still be friends?
Yeah, we'll still be friends because you're Barb.
But anyway, back to the brain dump.
Yeah. As long as you don't steal my ideas, as long as you don't try to write a blog exactly about me and have like an about page, which is basically my about page in your words.
I'll just, instead of husband shenanigans, I'll have Barb and Barb shenanigans.
Yeah, something like that. As long as you don't do that, we can still be friends.
Well, back to the brain dump.
Yeah.
So, Ankita, this is one thing I really wanted to talk about on the podcast, and I haven't spoken to you about it personally, because it's something I wanted us to discuss, and I wanted you to answer the questions that I have for you off the cuff. So, we had a class in social medicine this past week, and social medicine is like, I don't know, I just think it's a load of faff and just pointless, but social medicine is a side of medicine where doctors are not just looking at the clinical practice, but also looking at the other aspects of a patient's life.
Is this something that would be more interesting to, or more useful for like a psychiatrist?
No, I think, to be fair, I think it's important for all doctors, because you should know the social setting of your patient, and it helps you empathize with them, like the background they come from. And if you're in India, especially, I think it's important to know, you know, their financial income, you know, all these kind of things. Mm. So anyway, we were in social medicine class, and the topic for that day was quality of life. Mm. And Ankita, you know, I ponder a lot about these things.
Yeah,
and I think
know.
A lot.
That's why I want you to start a blog, because you have so many thoughts about these things. Yeah.
Are you calling me a philosopher?
You have all kinds of theories in your head, Meenal. You know, like, you sit and think, and then you come up with these. Yeah, but moving on. We can everyone can read about it on her blog, but moving on, you were saying.
Anyway, so we had a class on quality of life, and Ankita, I mean, you've seen me like physically, and I've been at your place and everything, and you know that if you ask me for the quality of my life, I would say out of 10, from a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst and 10 being the best, I would give it a good 8-9.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy, happy, happy all the time.
In Prague, I would definitely give you like a 9.
Well, I have a roof over my head, I have food every day, and I have good friends around me. So anyway, we were in class, and obviously Now, the quality of life is different for everyone, right? Yeah. Everyone sees it in a different way. Mm. Everyone has a different perspective. Mm. It's a very subjective thing. Mm. So what I might see as a 7, you might not see as a 7.
Yeah.
You might see it as a 5. You might see it as a 10.
Right.
So the teacher wanted to see how, as a class, we perceive a patient's quality of life. And again, this is important as a doctor, because if you think they have a good quality of life,
yeah,
then obviously your treatment starts to change and your interactions start to change. Mm. So I'm going to give you a scenario, Ankita,
okay,
that we were given in class. And the teacher asked us, okay, so from a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give this person for their quality of life?
Okay.
So there's a patient and he has atypical pneumonia.
Mm.
And an atypical pneumonia means that there is no specific treatment for it. And if there is, it might come back. So it's a bit difficult to treat, basically.
Right.
But everything else in his life is absolutely great. He has a girlfriend. He has a good source of income.
Mm.
He has a good business, mm, a stable job. He has a roof over his head. Everything is absolutely fine.
Okay.
The only problem in his life is this atypical pneumonia.
Okay.
So what grade would you give him?
I would give him like an 8, 8.5, because, mm-hmm, it's not an ideal situation to have this atypical pneumonia, but as long as he has everything else and it's just this tiny setback, I feel that it would be, you know, the least I could give him is a 7.
But okay, that's fine. That's what I gave him. I gave him a 7.
Yeah.
And I gave him a 7 with the idea that health is the most, probably one of the most important things
that's
in
true
your life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
And if you don't have health, then you can't enjoy the other, yeah, beauties of life.
Yeah.
So that's why I gave him a 7.
Yeah.
Because anyway, so I gave him a 7 and it was very interesting because the teacher went around the whole class asking us what grade we would give.
Yeah.
So some gave 7, some gave 6, some gave 5. But then some people were giving 2s and 1s.
Okay, and I want to ask, because I don't know what happens when you have atypical pneumonia. Like, can you not get out of your bed? Like, what happens to you?
Well, it depends on the severity of it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the times it's a lot of cough. You might cough up blood.
Okay.
You'll have chest pain and all these things.
Mm.
But the main, again, is you're just not healthy. So you won't be able to do your daily activities. It just hinders a lot of your daily routines that you have.
Okay, now that I know this, I would make it like a 6, 6.5, 7.
Okay, even that is like okay,
yeah,
you know? Like, but some people were giving 1s and 2s and I was just sat there like, what the hell? And it just shows, Ankita, it really just sparked a certain circuit in my brain.
Yeah.
That everyone has a different happy meter in their life.
Yep.
And everyone sees the world through such a different lens compared to me or to anyone.
Yeah, it's so subjective.
You.
And yeah, I feel that, you know, there's this theory that it might be a really stupid theory to some people, but when I was a child, I came up with this on my own. I felt that sorrow and sadness and tragedy is distributed, like everyone has the same, everyone goes through the same amount of pain in their lifetime. It's just that the way people comprehend different situations and the resistance they have to different situations and scenarios in their life is different from person to person. So the kind of pain that someone goes through by losing a family member, that's a horrible, mm-hmm, tragedy. Maybe another person who just like lost a pencil might be pain,
mm-hmm,
feeling that pain, like that sense of tragedy.
Yeah, but it's Ankita, different. You're right. But I think that even I've thought a lot about this,
yeah,
that why do I feel a certain way,
yeah,
for a certain situation, but someone else feels differently?
Mm.
And it really just has to do with your life experiences.
Yeah.
If you've experienced a lot in your life,
mm,
in terms of emotional pain, then there are a lot of things which might seem trivial to you.
That's true.
And if you haven't experienced anything in your life, if you've lived in a life where you've just been bubble wrapped,
mm,
then even just losing your pencil will be really painful,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it would be such a big tragedy.
And that's why, you know, in our class that day, I just realized that everyone's outlook on life is so different.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the quality of life, when I think about it, I mean, I'm very happy with my life. Of course, there are certain things that every day you want to achieve something,
yeah,
you want to,
yeah,
create something. But I think when I look at the quality of my life, Ankita, I look at the things that I have in my control.
Hmm.
And if I'm happy with what I have in my control,
yeah,
then, well, my quality of life is great. And I also look at quality of life in the sense that I have an education, I have food,
right,
I have my loved ones around me, and like, what else do I want? But people might look at the quality of life in a different way, that they might think, well, I don't have this amount of money in my bank.
Yep. Or that I can be happy only when I have my own home and my mm-hmm. own cars, that so that I can drive myself to places. Or
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
people associate the quality of life with materialistic things, and people associate the quality of life with other things, yeah. and that's absolutely fine. But you know, it's just such a strange thing to see that everyone had such a different aspect.
It's when you had one of your philosophical moments. I mean, I think this would have been a good blog post.
It would have.
I personally feel.
Also, another interesting thing that we did in that class is that we had to write down from the order of the most important to the least important, the five things which add up to the quality of our lives.
Right.
And that's the thing. You see, everyone in the class had the same thing. Health, relationships. And some people had financial status, but that was probably near the bottom.
Right.
But the most important things was health. So if everyone had the same list that adds up to the quality of life, why were they looking at these scenarios in a completely different way?
I think it just varies in degrees. They might think that, health is the most important thing. But once you achieve that, once you're really healthy, suppose someone's like, okay, I want to get really healthy and fit, and they eat right and they exercise and they're healthy and they don't have any other problems that are out of their control. And then they just start to take it for granted, I guess. And they'd be like, okay, I can only be happy if I have the next thing, which is a stable roof on my head. Let me get a house. And once they have the house, they're like, but I'm so far away and living in the suburbs. I have to commute. I need a car.
Well, that's you know, I listened to a podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was a Freakonomics podcast.
Of course.
And they
yeah.
And they had an episode on, I can't remember the name of the title, but I think it was called Why Am I So Unhappy or something like that.
We can link to it in the show notes once you find it.
Yeah, we'll add it to the show notes. And the whole podcast was about this theory of headwinds and tailwinds.
Right.
And the podcast was talking about how everyone is looking for happiness in their life. Mm. And we know, everyone knows that. But everyone has, again, a different happy meter, right? So some people become happy, and once we become happy, we sort of become used to it.
Right.
So that's what this research paper was about.
Oh,
that
we get comfortable in our happiness, and then we can't be happy in that scenario anymore, and we need to move on. Okay.
Because you know, there are days where we're so happy, and we're like, man, I wish this could last forever.
Yeah.
I wish I could, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the research paper was all about that we have these headwinds in our life and we have these tailwinds in our life, and every day we face both.
Right.
We face headwinds and we face
Can you explain
tailwinds.
Headwinds and tailwinds in case anyone's wondering?
So when you're facing tailwinds, it just means that things are just going in your favor.
Right.
So
something
the tailwinds
is propelling
are just,
you forward.
Yeah, so you're just moving forward.
Right.
Everything is working out absolutely fine in your life.
Okay.
But you have all these tailwinds pushing you forward, but then you also have the headwinds. And these are certain obstacles we face in our life that hold us back.
Right.
So you know, sometimes we say, we move two steps forward, one step back. And it's all to do with headwinds and tailwinds. So we face this on a daily basis, and most of us at least try to change this balance.
Right.
We want to have more tailwinds and less headwinds, of course.
Of course, yeah.
But the problem is that once we figure out in our life that, okay, these are the things that work for me, these are the exact things that are going to make me wake up really happy, these are the things that are going to make me productive, after like a week or maybe even a month, it all goes back down the same road again. That you wake up and you're like, oh man, I feel so shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You get into a rut. And then you get used to it, and then you're like, I need to get out of this.
So the whole research paper was about the fact that we cannot have the same formula and the same recipe for our happiness. It has to change, and not in the grand scheme. Not like you have to buy a new car every month, you have to buy a new house. Just in the small things that you do. So let's say you have a certain coffee place you go to in the morning. Change that. Go somewhere else. Find a new happy place. And it was really interesting because we just talked about the quality of life and happiness. And it was just so interesting to listen to this podcast because happiness is such a, I think a lot of people overuse that word. It's so overrated sometimes. And people make it out that it's so simple to get and so simple to grab a hold of.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. Like, it's really complex to grab a hold of.
This is not something that I've come up with, but we've heard so many times that you need sadness in your life so that you appreciate it when you're happy and you understand. Because if you were just happy and there was nothing going wrong in your life, you wouldn't even realize that you were happy. You wouldn't even recognize what you have. So, you know, that's one thing that everyone talks about. But speaking of happiness, have you read the book called The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin?
No, I haven't.
It's something that I've linked to on my blog, and I've talked about it a lot because she even has a podcast. It's called Happier with Gretchen Rubin, where she gives little tips and little tricks and little, you know, little things that you can incorporate into your life. And one thing she says all the time is start now. And don't wait for things to go wrong for you to start incorporating something that can make you happy into your daily routine, like maybe exercising or to take care of your health or going for a walk or, you know, pursuing a hobby, whatever it is that you think is going to bring happiness into your life. Start right now while things are good, because most people tend to wait for something tragic to happen so that they can make like a big change in their lives. So,
but also, Ankita, sometimes you need that kick up. You know, like you just need life to give you a kick,
but
for you to be.
You know, if the kick comes in the form of a punishment for your own actions, like you've not been taking care of your body and you get a heart attack, then you deserve that kick. But sometimes you're just, you know, going on with your life and you're happy and you get a phone call, and that phone call, you know, just shatters you. Someone in the family expired or whatever. That's when most people tend to start thinking about things, and they think, I have to make changes to my life. Life is so short. And then they start doing drastic things. But what she says is that start when everything is perfect. You're happy and you're content. That's when you start, so that even when you get this tragic phone call, you have these pillars in place so that you don't completely break down.
Well, that rings a bell, Ankita, because I know you won't be surprised, but I was also thinking about something else. And I was thinking, Ankita, that what are the points in our lives where we're the most productive? And is it when life gives you a kick? Or is it when everything is going well in your life? And now you just mentioned that start the things in your life when you are happy, when things are going well.
Yeah.
But would you really start something that is out of your comfort zone? Would you really start exercising? Would you really start doing things that you wouldn't normally do when you're comfortable?
Well, I would, because I'm that kind of person.
Really?
Like, well, since last September, I've been incorporating little things into my life to make everything better. So the first thing I did was make sure that I was eating right. So I got like the food area sorted out. I was eating more often and I was eating healthier. And then I started exercising. And it was not because I was unhealthy. It's not because I had a heart attack that I started exercising. I just thought that, you know, for my overall well-being and for my happiness, I need to do this. And I started doing it. And then I started fixing up my home and, you know, fixing my sleep. And now I have all these things sorted out. Now I'm in the final, not the final stage, but one of the final stages wherein I've decided that I will spend quality time with the people I love and explore at least one place, either in Edinburgh or outside Edinburgh, just go somewhere during the weekends and see something. So that's something that I've been holding up. And I think I'm just one of those people who doesn't need a push and I can do things like that. But
what triggered that? Did anything trigger that?
I think reading this book is what triggered that.
Hmm.
I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then I decided to do it.
Because even with me, Ankita, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out what makes me productive and what really gives me that, you know, that kick to actually get work done and to keep going every day.
Yeah.
But I was watching a short video I saw on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and it was a video about Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he got into the film industry.
Oh, yes. I've watched it.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. He talks about how this was not his passion, but he was just too scared to not, you know, he was too scared to fail, and he didn't want to go into poverty.
Yeah. He was too scared to be poor.
Yeah.
So he just worked his ass off and he made it to the top. So that's something that worked for him.
Yeah, that's a driving force. Fear is a good driving force.
And fear.
Yeah.
They always say fear and hunger is a good driving force.
Yeah.
But even I think, Ankita, there are a lot of times where I feel that it's not that I'm spoiled or anything, but I just feel that I'm too comfortable, that I know that I'm going to get a degree. I know that, well, I come home, there will be food.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, I can just go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
But I just think sometimes there are days where I think that if I didn't have any food, would I be working a lot harder?
Yeah.
If I didn't have If I opened my fridge and it was empty and I had nothing in my purse, would I be working 10 times harder?
That's true. I mean, we would all be pushed a little extra when we know we have no other choice. But I think what she was talking about was not really that kind of an extreme scenario. She was mostly talking about how people are like, oh, I'm stuck in a rut and I'm unhappy. Then, you know, do something before something tragic happens so that it can it can be like a pillow to the blow.
Yeah, and it's like when doctors give you antibiotics as a prophylactic just in case you might get an infection.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, but yeah, I'm going to pretend as if I understood that. A profable something.
Wow, okay, anyway.
Antibiotics so that it's like a pro something. Yeah. Oh,
we can call my blog Dr. Barb.
Oh my god.
DrBarb.com. Anyway.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about happiness, Ankita, I've also noticed one more thing. Mm-hmm. Not one more thing. I've noticed many things. Let's be honest. You notice
a lot of things. That's what's going on your blog. Oh my god, this brain dump is a classic reason why. It's like proof why you need to start that blog, because you notice so many things. Have you noticed how you're heading this conversation? Because you're noticing so many things. I've noticed literally nothing. Sitting here just listening to you.
We should just call this like, just this episode should just be me talking to a microphone to myself.
It's Mina's brain dump because she's been noticing so many things. Oh my god, she turned 24 and suddenly she's enlightened.
No, come on, you know I do it all the time.
You do it all the time, but this time I kind of forced you to think about your life because you were 24 and now you just can't stop talking about the things you're thinking.
You regret it now, right?
I kind of do.
But one thing I noticed, Ankita, is that people, again, we're talking about happiness, and I've noticed that a lot of people direct their happiness towards one thing, and that is the people they love.
Yeah.
And because I'm basing my thoughts and ideas on the fact that I've been speaking to more girls around me.
Oh, so do you mean people they love in the sense of a romantic involvement, or like parents?
In the sense of a romantic involvement.
Okay, yeah, I know that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
So, I don't know, Ankita, you know, like, I'm a very different person. So for me, it's just like, okay, it's a bit strange because that's not something I would fixate on.
Actually, I have something to add to that, but I'll come to that later because I want to ask you what made you notice this. What is it that you notice? And then meanwhile, I'm going to like do a little bit of an internet search because I have a quote to tell you. But you first tell me what you noticed.
What I noticed.
Yeah.
So what I noticed was that every time I asked a friend of mine in class or at the gym or wherever, and I asked him, oh, how are you? Or what you up to? And the first thing they would mention, whether it was good or bad, the first thing they would always mention was their boyfriend.
Okay.
Or like they would say, I can't wait for this weekend because I'm going to do this with my boyfriend.
Right.
Or they would say, oh, I'm okay, but I really miss my boyfriend if they're in a long distance relationship.
Right.
So that's the first thing everybody would say.
Okay. I'm glad you made this observation because while you were speaking, I was looking up something. And you know how I told you that I was already familiar with this, how people tend to mostly talk about their romantic involvements and their romantic relationships. And so Elizabeth Gilbert is one of my favorite writers. And in her book, Eat, Pray, Love, there's this passage. Okay, I'm going to read it out to you.
And hey, that's the book you gave to me, right?
No, I didn't give it to you.
Was that not one of the three books you gave me?
Oh my god. Guys, I sent Mina three books as a birthday gift because I feel that books are the best gifts, and she doesn't even remember the titles of the books I sent.
One was Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
Then one was a Danish book of happiness.
Yeah.
Then the third one was it was a blue cover.
Room.
What was it called?
It's Room. By Emma Donaghy. Anyway. Okay, so I'm going to read this, but you don't know this passage that I'm reading out to you. And I just trust me, at the end of it, your mind is going to be blown. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, this is the passage. I remember a story my friend Deborah, the psychologist, told me. Back in the 1980s, she was asked by the city of Philadelphia if she could volunteer to offer psychological counseling to a group of Cambodian refugees, boat people, who had recently arrived in the city. Deborah was an exceptional psychologist, but she was terribly daunted by the task. These Cambodians had suffered the worst of what humans can inflict on each other: genocide, rape, torture, starvation, the murder of their relatives before their eyes, then long years in refugee camps and dangerous boat trips to the West where people died and corpses were fed to sharks. What could Deborah offer these people in terms of help? How could she possibly relate to their suffering? But don't you know, Deborah reported to me, what all these people wanted to talk about once they could see a counselor? It was all, I met this guy when I was living in the refugee camp and we fell in love. I thought he really loved me, but then we were separated on different boats and he took up with my cousin. Now he's married to her, but he says he really loves me and he keeps calling me, and I know I should tell him to go away, but I still love him and I can't stop thinking about him, and I don't know what to do.
So these are Cambodian refugees who've seen, they've been to hell and back.
Yeah, they've quite figuratively been to hell and back. And you saw the things
they're on a boat right now.
Not on the boat. They basically got on a boat and then they came to the US.
Okay. And despite all of that, they're still thinking about the person they love who left them.
That's the thing. It blows my mind because she specifically mentions that these people went through genocide, rape, torture, starvation, murder of their relatives before their eyes, long years in refugee camps and dangerous boat trips to the West where people died and corpses were fed to sharks. Okay, this is all they've gone through. And when a counselor goes to them, the first and the only thing they want to talk about is, I met this guy and I kind of like him.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, today, Ankita, I met a friend of mine after a while.
Yeah.
And she said, Omil, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a while. Mm. And the first thing I said was, oh, the sun is shining. Mm. Of course, I'm great. Like, that's the first thing that I would think of.
Yeah.
If the sun is shining, I'm happy.
I think it's a very primitive human instinct to adjust your moods and to constantly be affected by your relationship with a significant other.
Romantic love is a very primitive feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's something that we've had from the day we were here.
Yeah.
And we've evolved with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, sex, hunger, love, all these things have been there for a while. And it just shows, like what you've just said, that it's so important to us.
Yeah.
That this, even though we're exposed to so much every day, so much more than we were 300 years ago, 400 years ago, we still think about our romantic relationships.
I mean, your house could be burning down right now, but if you have a fight with your husband, then probably that's what's hurting you more than the fire. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so I think that this brain dump was pretty interesting. We covered a range of topics, didn't we? We started off with your happy birthday.
Wait, actually, Ankita, there was more I wanted to talk about, but I'll say that for the next one, I guess.
Better say
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
For the
I
next
just,
one.
I just really want to talk to you guys.
This is too much. No, this episode is going to get too long if we just continue.
Yeah,
and we don't want to bore you guys, but actually this is interesting. Could you please let us know if you like longer episodes or if you prefer it if our episodes are just like 30 minutes long? Because how do you listen to podcasts? This is one other tangent that I'm ready to go on, because I just want to discuss, Meena, how do you listen to podcasts? When do you listen to them? What is your pattern with podcasts in general?
I listen to podcasts every time I walk to the hospital.
Right.
Or every time I'm walking somewhere. Hmm. I rarely listen to it at home.
Hmm.
Rarely listen. Because when I'm walking somewhere, I can really just remember the podcast properly.
Right.
And this is why I remember the Freakonomics podcast, because I remember where I was.
Yeah.
And I absorb information a lot better like that. At home, there's too much going on. So I never listen at home.
Yeah, I on the other hand, I feel that I'm one of those podcast junkies and I'm constantly discovering new podcasts. In fact, just yesterday, I discovered this pretty old podcast called Sleep With Me. And it's about this guy who puts you...
That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good, but he puts you to sleep by talking about really boring things. And oh my God, I cannot tell you, this has been helping me so much.
Really?
I just listened to two episodes. I have literally no idea what he's talking about. It's so boring, but I fall asleep.
But is his voice boring or is the topic?
The way he talks as well as the topics. You won't understand a thing about the topics. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And he just put, I fall asleep before the podcast ends. And so I'm this podcast junkie. I'm constantly discovering new things and I listen to them a lot while I'm cleaning or cooking or just doing stuff about the house. if I get up from my desk where I'm writing my blog or working on like the other stuff, if I get up from my desk to even go grab a coffee, I play a few minutes of a podcast because I can't, really? Yeah, I need something to be happening in the background. I can't just sit there.
Oh, at home I would put music on.
Yeah, so instead of music, so what most people do while listening to music, I do while listening to podcasts. So another thing is that I don't mind the length of any podcast. Like if it's 2 hours long, I would actually listen to it because I listen in breaks and gaps and whenever I have free time.
See, I'm not like that, Ankita. Yeah. I like to start and finish a podcast on my commute.
Yeah.
Because then I forget and I lose track. So 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 is pushing it.
Mm.
But 40 minutes is a good time to have.
See, this is why I would really appreciate it if our listeners would just send in their feedback and tell us how long they would ideally want our podcast to be. So that, because look at us, Meenal and I, we're two people hosting a podcast, but we have completely different ways of consuming it. So I'm interested to know. So
and if you want me to hold a weekly show where it's just me and my thoughts, we'll happily do that.
I would totally listen to that. If you just go on a rant about everything that's going on in your head because it's so weird, I would totally consume that. So on that weird note, I just wanted to also remind you to send in your feedback and all your messages to mail@desioutsiders.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at
The Desi Outsiders.
Okay. I'm like an Indian mom. At?
He's staring at me like Meenal.
Okay. So until next week, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are the Desi Outsiders. Bye-bye.